Talking with God. Third hour of meditation. Talking with God. Is God someone I can talk to? Is God someone who talks to me? Is God separate from me? Am I separate from God? Am I one as God? Is God one as me? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Whoever I am, whatever kind of a person I am, however gentle, loving, sensitive, caring person that I am, that's how God is in me. And the more I can be gentle, loving, caring, sensitive, unconditionally loving. The more I can be that, the more God is that in me, as me, through me. So, if I have a loving Father, a loving presence, a loving God in me, then I should be able to talk to this loving presence, this loving Father, loving God in me, as a loving being, someone that cares about me, someone that cares about my world, someone that cares about what I am doing above and beyond anything else in the universe. God in me has only one thing to do, and that is to express through me all that it is. Sounds a little selfish, but that's the way it is. God in me expresses all that it is in and through me now. So if I decree or determine or understand God to be love, then that love is 100% me. And I can talk to God as this love. And I say, hey, God, I understand that you're pure love. Yes. Yes, that's true. I understand that you are pure joy. True again. I understand that you are everything that is good and beautiful. Yes. I understand that you are unconditionally loving. Yes. The word unconditional really doesn't have to be there, but that's okay. If that helps you to understand our relationship, that's okay. Thanks, God. I appreciate you allowing me to have these latitudes of ways of thinking about you. Well, whatever gets us closer together, whatever allows you to wake up to realize that I am you and you are me, and anything you want to think, say, or do, I do through you. Anything, God? Yes, anything. Anything? Yes, anything. Well, you mean even things that are less than absolute perfection? Herb? If you are me and I am you, how could you ever think anything less than perfection? Anything less than perfection? Well, I'm not as aware as you are of who you are and who our relationship is, what our relationship is, but so in that way I might come up with something a little less than all that you are. You could never do that. All you come up with sometimes is something of what I am, but not all that I am, but something of what I am. Now, what you want to do, I would imagine, if I were a free spirit and you doing this thing, I would want to be all that I am all of the time in and through our relationship, in and through who you are and who I am. Oh, God, that sounds awfully good. That sounds really terrific. That sounds like it's something I'd like to do. How do I go about doing it? Well, you go about being all that I am by first figuring out what you think I am. Do you think I could judge anybody? Well, essentially no, but I often thought you judged. In fact, I knew you didn't judge, and yet I thought you judged. And I know you don't judge, and yet I thought you judged. How could I have that dualistic attitude? Well, it's not dualism as much as it is nonsense. The truth is that I cannot judge anything because I created everything, and I call it good, and therefore I can only, if I were to judge good, and I don't even judge good. Because my creation has been given the opportunity to be aware of whatever they wish of my nature and express whatever they wish of my nature whenever they want to. They don't have to, but they can whenever they want to. And when they express it, what they're expressing is the expression of all that is beautiful and good. And just think, Herb, yes, God, just think. If you, in your humanness, were able to express all of me in my divineness, could you do it? I know I couldn't. So long as I'm a human, I cannot express all of my divinity. So long as I play the game of human, I play the divine as human. And I think about the divine and relate to the divine as human, not as divine. And if I'm going to really know you, God, and know the divine, I have to release entirely being human, because human does not include being divine. The divine includes being human, but the human does not include being divine. It cannot. If the human were to include being divine, then it would be divine. And the divine is more understandable, you might say. If it includes being human, then it includes only those avenues of being human that are divine. And are there any avenues in the human that are divine? Yes, all of them. But they're only limited ones. They're not the totality of the divine. They're not the totality of everything that is good and beautiful. It's like you might say you have a glass that's a quarter full, half full, three-quarters full of whatever you have in it. Being human is like a glass where you've got a quarter full or half full or three-quarters, but you're never full. And if you are full, you can always be full to overrunning. But as for God, there's no measure stick in God. There's no way that God interprets whether it is full or it is not. For it is the allness everywhere, and if and as it is the allness, and since it is the allness, whatever allness it is always it, is always the divine. Whereas the human overflows or underflows. The human is whatever it feels it is. And because it is whatever it feels it is not the allness. The human has not the capacity to interpret, to define, to understand allness, because allness is a concept that is beyond the imagination of a human being. Goodness is beyond the capacity of a human being. Right action is beyond the capacity. All divine terms are beyond the capacity of the human. And when the human seeks to question into the divine path, question into the divine avenues, it comes up short. And it comes up short only because it does not have the capacity to realize the grandness, the greatness, the totality of allness. Why would that be so difficult, you might ask? Well, it's difficult only because it's beyond our consideration. It's beyond our ability to tabulate it. It's beyond our ability to think about it. When we even think of the mundane money of billions of dollars and trillions of dollars and quadrillions of dollars and things of that nature, we think, for goodness sakes, that is so great and so much. Well, that's not even a drop in the bucket compared to the allness that I am. That's not even compared to anything, to the reality of divinity, to the reality of allness, to the reality. And because it's not comparable, man thinks it doesn't exist. Because you cannot put a measuring tool on it, you think that there's no way it can be understood. It doesn't exist. Well, I might say to you, as God, nothing exists to you in the allness because you don't have a measuring tool for it. Yet, all that exists in the allness is the only thing that exists at all. The only thing that exists at all in the allness are things that are immeasurable, things that are beyond contemplation, beyond understanding. It is just so utterly amazing and fantastic and joyful and beautiful. It's beyond anything we have ever considered for ourselves. If you would, Herb, if you would, start thinking about the grandness of things. Start thinking about something that's beyond your ability to really understand fully, and just start probing into it. That's what scientists are doing. They're probing into the profound. And as they're probing into it, they're coming up with the understanding of a little bit of it. But it's a titillating little bit of it that encourages them to look further, to look more deeply, to look more sincerely and more positively into the allness that is. And so the scientists do this, as philosophers do this, as psychologists do this, as great thinkers do this, as theologians attempt to do this, so long as they leave out any relevance to a framework, to a box, then they're thinking properly. But so long as they put their philosophy in a box, they have it neatly written down, neatly understood, they don't understand anything. So long as their scientific principles fit into a category of formulas, of equations, of ways of defining it, so long as it can be done, then it is never to be done. Because it's over with. You have made the formula, you have put the box there, and you fit it in there, squished it here a little bit to make it fit, and then you close the cover, and never to be opened again. And you think that that's all there is. You think that's its reality, that's its totality. Well, this is what we have trained ourselves to think. This is what our educational system has trained ourselves to think, that if we will learn, we will learn something from a book. And the book is a box. And the book says, this is what it is. And then a few months later, maybe a few moments later, or maybe a few years later, science reveals to itself more and more information and realizes that what it had proclaimed as the ultimate knowledge was but the first step. But the first step on that beautiful journey of inward turning to truth and love and wholeness and beingness. It's exciting. It's exciting. But only it's exciting if we have the perception to realize that's what's happening. So many times we want to say, scientists tell us, don't eat eggs. They're not good for you. Then they tell us, eat eggs. They're good for you. And then they tell us, eat eggs in moderation. And then they tell us, it doesn't matter how many eggs you eat, you can never overeat. And what is this that they're trying to tell us? They're trying to make some universal principle out of a simple little bit of information. And the simple little bit of information is only relative to perhaps some circumstances or some conditions or some experiences. And when those experiences have passed, then it's no longer relevant, and a new relevancy comes in. Oh my. God, even thinking on the level of God consciousness is confusing because it's so vast, so broad, so all-encompassing. Well, Herb, if you really want to be like you think I am, like you think God is, how are you going to go about it? How are you going to go about thinking that you would like to be what you think God is? Do you think that God is able to express itself on the human level? It does, you know. Do you think God is able to express itself on the absolute level? It does. Is God able to express itself on levels that we have never even perceived or thought about? Oh, yeah. So, where do we begin? Well, for me, in my relationship with you, God, I have chosen to begin with the idea that you are unconditional love. You are purity. You are goodness. You are, this may tickle you, God, you are warmth. You are the sensitivity of warmth. You are the warm body, so to speak, the warm, loving tenderness, the warm sensitivity, the warm caringness. And it's a caringness not that there's something that needs caring about, but the caringness that means you wanted to share the love that you are, the goodness that you are, the warmth that you are, the fantastic quality that you are. You wanted to share that. That's who I think God is in me. I think God is joy and peace and goodness. I think God is all that is wonderful and beautiful. Well, Herb, you're getting kind of broad again. And as you get kind of broad again, then pretty soon you're going to think God is nothing and you're not going to think about God at all. What do you mean, God? Well, the more names you attach to God, the less you think about God. If you think one name for God, and you believe that one name, you live that one name, you follow that one name, and you bring that one name into reality wherever you are, that's living your God presence. Well, what name should I choose, God? You would ask me, wouldn't you? Well, what better consciousness to ask than God consciousness? Well, you got a point there. Okay. You want to define me in a way that you can delight in it and enjoy it and experience it and know it. Yeah, yeah. Well, one way you can do that is by just letting yourself feel If you were God, from whatever standard you choose for yourself, but if you were God, what kind of a God would you be? Would you be a God that sees people in illness and has compassion for them? Or would you be a God that sees them with the perfection, the ideal, the original purity and integrity that they are, whether they're experiencing it or not? You know it's there, and you hold true to the fact that it is there for them always. That's really what my thought would be. My thought would be, Herb, that you would have a God consciousness, a God awareness, a God definition that says, all the world is beautiful and good, and we are experiencing it as much as we can. Every person on earth is a loving person wanting happiness for himself and his family and his world. That's a truism. You would like me to be a God that answers every prayer. And of course, I cannot answer every prayer, because a prayer is for something that doesn't exist. I can only reveal to you that which already exists. And so your affirmations or your statements of truth or your understanding that all already is reveals to you all already is. You say, I'm ready for a new car. I think I like this type, and I think it'd be that color, and so forth. And so you put that cause in motion in the law of cause and effect, and you bring that forth into your world. And as you bring that forth into your world, you bring forth whatever it is that delights you, whatever it is that pleases you, whatever it is that excites you. And this is what the law does, and that I have given you. If you pray that you get well, and then you violate the rules of wholeness and wellness, you make it difficult for you to be well. But if you pray for you to be well, and then you let go and let God, then you're doing the right thing. If you say, I am well now, whole and perfect now, then you do everything to act that way, to live that way, to be that way, and you are that way, and you experience that all of the time in every area of life. You know, if that's the kind of God I conceive that you would want to have for yourself. Well, that's pretty good, really. That's pretty nice. Why would you say you think that's what I'd like, God? Why would you say you think that's what I would enjoy having in my world? Well, I say you would enjoy having in your world everything that is a blessing to yourself and to everyone in your world. Pure and simple. Yeah. Pure and simple is right, God. Yeah. Everything that's a blessing to me and everything that's a blessing to everyone in my world. Wow. That's kind of cool. That sort of puts it in a nutshell. That's the kind of God I can understand. Yeah, that's the kind of God that I can appreciate. And thank you, God. Herb, you gave this suggestion to yourself. I merely helped you to sort of summate it, to put it down in a simple way. Yeah, I guess so. But I still think you gave it to me. Well, if you wish, you may have that thought all you like. You may say anything you want, but is that really what you'd like to say? That the kind of God you have, the kind of God you are, is a God that loves you and sees you whole and perfect in every way, sees every joy of your heart met, and every joy of the heart of anyone else in your creation met now, complete and whole. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's so wonderful. That's so beautiful. That's so fantastic. That's just what I mean, God. That's just what I mean. That's just what I feel and just what I know. Well, as you continue to work in your consciousness and continue to keep your mind clear and continue to keep your thought open and receptive to your highest and best, then you are God expressing itself. You are God being itself. And as you think these things, what you're doing, you're saying that these things are true for you. You're saying, as God, you are demonstrating these things in your world. You are revealing them in your world. You're revealing every desire of your heart, every desire of your soul, every desire that you could ever know or want or be, you're revealing that. Yes, God, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's so true. But why is it that I have such a hard time getting to that awareness? Well, you don't have a hard time getting to that awareness. The difficulty humans have is that they allow distractions to take them away from their path. They allow distractions to take them away from their walk along the spiritual way. And as they allow these distractions, they think the distractions are the reality, and the way is really not important. When every being is master of himself with such beautiful self-discipline, so that he is untouched, undistracted by anything in his world other than what he wants to have his attention on, then he is the master. Then he is nearer to God in the awareness of what God is in him as him. He's not far away from God. That's never a case. God is always in every one of its creation, in totality. God is always being itself in all of its creation. But its creation allows itself to be distracted sometimes. And because it's allowing itself to be distracted, it thinks the distraction is the reality. It thinks the distraction is what it must pay attention to. What's a distraction, God? What sort of distraction would I allow to distract me from thinking about God and thinking about goodness and thinking about peace and harmony, right action and truth? Well, one distraction might be an irritation or argument that you have another person. You're arguing about something. Well, maybe it's very important. Well, no argument is important because it goes nowhere and comes from nowhere. It's better to leave the argument alone and not be distracted by it and stay on the fact that I am God, God I am. Stay on the fact that I am the creator of all. Stay on the fact of who and what you are. Oh, God, that you're right, of course. You're right, but it is difficult when I've allowed myself throughout my entire lifetime to be distracted by things. I'm distracted by war. I'm distracted by unhappiness that takes place in other people's lives. I'm distracted by unhappiness that I create in my own life. I'm distracted by the weather. I'm distracted by the type of foods that are available. I'm distracted by every possible thing under the sun. And I am distracted by it. And what a sad thing that is. Yes, Herb, that is a very sad thing. But, c'est la vie, that comes and goes. That is not the reality of you. That is not the totality of you. When you let God in you, be you, as you, all the time, those distractions soon fade away and no longer are important to you. But they always will be there, and they'll always be important for you, as long as you feel you must put your nose into their activity. Oh, come on, God, what do you mean, put my nose in their activity? Well, as long as you are interested in them. If you have a distraction of war and you read about it in the newspaper and television and radio and all the media, and you hear people talking about it, and then you start talking about it, and you start discussing it, and you start talking about anything at all that is contrary to your highest and best, you empower that, and that distraction possesses you, owns you, and distracts you from your pure and wonderful self. Your pure and wonderful self is always there. It's always wonderfully there. It's always perfectly there. But you allow yourself to be distracted into other ways of thinking, into other avenues. You allow yourself to think there's something else to think about than your divinity. Something else to think about than all is in right order. All is in divine order. How could we ever allow ourselves to think about anything other than our perfection, other than the truth about us, other than the magical love, unconditional love that we are? How could we ever do that? Well, we do that all too easily. All too easily when we allow ourselves to be undisciplined. Very few people have trained themselves adequately in self-discipline so that they can be untouched by anything in the world about them. Just an illustration. You're standing on a street corner, and a car is going to crash into another car right in front of you. You see them. They're going right at each other. And so in that instant, you close your eyes and you say, all is in divine order. You don't say how. You don't say what's supposed to happen. You don't say who's supposed to do what and how. You just say, all is in divine order. You have taken the universal principle, the power of the universe, if you will. You've taken the universal principle that brings these things into reaction. And what appeared to be a crash was only an appearance. And they just whizzed by each other. Or stopped. Or whatever they did, it didn't matter. What matters is you took charge and you had this non-activity of accidents or incidents in your life. You are the master. You are the one who makes the decision by self-discipline. Whenever something comes into your attention that is not harmonious, you immediately take your thought and you say, all is in divine order right now, and then leave it alone and go on with your activity. And if it ever comes back to your attention again, it'll come back to your attention as something that's already solved, that's already complete and perfect. It's a wonderful thing. But it's something only you can do by self-discipline. Only you can do by being master of yourself, being God. And when you're God, it's just a lot of fun to do that. It's just a lot of fun to be God and to express it and to live it and to enjoy it. It is fun. Now, are you ready to be part of that fun? Well, that seems a little irresponsible. Herb, what do you mean, irresponsible? Well, and not to take action and do things to help the world and to take care of things. Herb, your word, your spoken word, your thought, whatever it may be, is more powerful than any physical action you in your puny little body could ever do for a universal situation or even an individual situation. God, that's kind of silly talk for you. No, it's just something to perhaps wake you up a little bit and tell you that your word, your thought, is so much more magnificent, so much more conditional. And conditional isn't the right word. It's so much more resultant in what you want to happen, in what you say to him. Well, I only said all is in divine order. Yes, but what is divine order in your mind? Is divine order in your mind no accident? Is divine order in your mind abundance, plenty, health, harmony, peace, joy, all of the virtues? Is that divine order? If that's divine order, you're doing the right thing. If divine order is, I want my peace and I don't care about anybody else, whether they get a peace or not doesn't matter to me. If that's not divine order. Divine order is, I have my peace right now, not relating anything to anybody else. I say, I'm in divine order right now. All is in perfect divine order right now. It has nothing to do with anyone else. If it has to come through a thousand channels to get to you, and these channels are other people, it will be done in a harmonious way, because you will be speaking your word in a harmonious way, and you'll be bringing it about for you in a harmonious way. God, being you is quite a challenge. Yes, in the beginning, it could be. In the beginning, as you're changing over from one thought program to another, one thought system to another, it could appear to be challenging. But as challenging as it is to learn to play the piano, and you're just plinkering away, and all of a sudden, one day, you're playing quite nicely. And then, all of a sudden, you're playing very nicely. Now, when did that happen? When did it happen that you went from playing terribly to playing nicely and very nicely? It's not in your consciousness, not in your realm. You merely say, all is in divine order. And you sit down and practice piano. You say, all is in divine order. And your self-discipline grows and grows and grows as you are consistent in building this attitude about yourself. You are the master of yourself. You are the psychologist of your life. You are the one who sets the causes in motion and brings about the results for anything you want in your life. Now, you think that your child, for instance, is going to go to school. And you think the child does well in school. And then you think the child is an absolute genius. Is an absolute genius. You don't say in what, but an absolute genius. And then the child goes to school and is an absolute genius in every subject he takes or she takes. And as they do that, their skill grows. Their ability using self-discipline multiplies tremendously. And pretty soon, in their field or their profession, they're highly paid. And pretty soon, in their field and their profession, they reach the very upper limits. But only when they have stability of attitude and purpose and direction. Only when they know the divine in me knows the answer. And then they follow it. Because to run willy-nilly, they get no place and they accomplish nothing. But when they are settled in their mind, then all things work out for them. And it's up to you to speak your word for your children, if you will, and see them happy, healthy, contented in the ideal field that turns them on. The ideal profession or whatever it may be that turns them on. Just a matter of choice. Just a matter of choice. You create your world according to your thought about yourself. And your world is then a reflection of you. A reflection of who you think you are. And it is usually very beautiful. And it can always be very beautiful when you know who you are. Study yourself. Study yourself and decide who it is that you really want to be. Who is it that you think that you'd really like to be? If you're going to talk to God, what are you going to talk to God about? What is God going to say to you? How is God going to talk to you in any way that you can understand? How is God going to say to you that you are a beautiful being and have you understand it? How is God going to say to you, you are intelligent, you are wise, you speak your word and instantly results take place because you know the law of cause and effect and how it functions. But beyond the law of cause and effect, that's where I work as God. Beyond the law of cause and effect, I work and I say, it all already exists and it's merely for us, merely for you and for me, for whoever, to name it and claim it. It all already exists. It's not something we have to manufacture, not something we have to inspirationally, creatively come up with, but it's all already in existence. And so, put that in motion. And then follow it. Put it in motion for whatever dream you have for yourself. If your dream is for being an excellent person, if your dream is for being divine, if your dream is for being wealthy, healthy, happy, hearty, if your dream is for being having good relationships, whatever your dream may be, human or divine or absolute or whatever, it doesn't matter. You're here on the human plane to enjoy human things as much as they pleasure you. Oh God, you say that? I didn't know that you'd ever say that, that you say that I should be a human. I did not say you should be a human. I said you should enjoy the human plane as much as you like, neither possessed by it, neither possessing it. You are enjoying it, and it is you and you are it. That's the wonder of universal principle. That's the wonder of God consciousness. That's the wonder of you being yourself and having fun at all times. That's the wonder of it. And with this wonder, what happens? With this wonder, dreams come true for you. With this wonder, all the magic of the universe is revealed in your life in every beautiful and sacred way, right now. It's an exciting activity, and it's an exciting adventure. It's exciting for us to think about. But are you ready now for it? Are you ready to say, I am God, God I am? Are you ready to say, I am God, a God of pure love, a God of pure joy? It's a good idea always to know what you think God is. Because if you're going to say, I am God, and you're confused as to what you think God is, then you'll be a confused God. But if you are a God that knows what you think God is, what you think the divine is, what you think the allness is, you have made a giant leap in your spiritual resolution and revolution of yourself. And it is wonderful, and it is beautiful. It is who you are, what you are, why you are, where you are, and all that you are. Now take a few moments and think on this idea. Who do I think God is? What do I think God is? How do I think God exists and expresses itself? What do I think of God? What do I think of God? What do I think God wants me to do, if anything? What do I think I'd like to do? Who do I think God is? Now, think on these questions. Choose one or more and come to some sort of conclusion for yourself. And every day after this, improve on that conclusion. Improve on what you think God is in you, as you, through you. Now, think on these things for a few moments. settling down on what you think God is and how you think you're going to think about God is an interesting situation. It makes you think in many different directions, and many times you'll be thinking about this before you come up to a real conclusion of what you think God is. And then, once you've made your decision, then think that that's what God is and work on it with all the loving discipline you can manifest and see a beautiful gift is born for you in your life. Now we've taken the cloth in and checked it over, and now they'll check it over and see how it responds. And it responds from the point of view that they are master of themselves under all circumstances. It's kind of fun. Kind of fun to think of these things and work on these things and practice these things. And that's what we're here for, is to be ourselves and have fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. Thank you.